This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
By surveillance. Your assessment of what you've heard so far, we've heard talk of phone records being used to foil the subway bombing plot in 2009, and also your assessment of the news that the NSA is saying that 300 phone records were searched last year.
So this is the playbook that the U.S. government has been using for I don't know how many decades to delegitimize any disclosure, going back to the Pentagon Papers when they accused Daniel Ellsberg of helping the communists in Vietnam and jeopardizing and putting
Glenn,
at risk
we have 10 seconds.
The lives of American service members. So it's completely irrational. I think any of those claims should be very rigorously scrutinized because they don't stand up to scrutiny.
Glenn, do you have more pieces coming out?
Yes, we do, including in the next couple days.
Glenn Greenwald, columnist and blogger for The Guardian. We'll link to all his articles at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Birkenick, Belsar Mate, Nirmeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, hosted by Joe Uris. Today's topic is the incredible story of former National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden and the leak of top-secret documents disclosing extensive U.S. surveillance of telephone calls and internet communications of normal American citizens.
And that's one of the things that constantly surveilling people and constantly communicating to them that they're powerless before this omnipotent government corporate institution does to people. It convinces them that the tiny little box in which they live is really the only box in which they want to live, so they no longer even realize they're being imprisoned. Rosa Luxemburg put that best. She said, "He who does not move does not notice his chains."
That's Glenn Greenwald on the Surveillance State on the Next Alternative Radio. The award-winning journalist and lawyer Glenn Greenwald recently broke the story of NSA contractor turned whistleblower Edward Snowden. Hear Glenn Greenwald on the Surveillance State on Alternative Radio this Tuesday at 9 a.m. on KBOO Portland.
Station Navigator Report, June 14th, 2013. Recently, I announced a renewed effort to both survey the community to better understand what they want and need from their community radio station and to recruit many more financially supporting and voting members. Today, we launched the first survey in this campaign. True to KBOO's mandate to serve the underserved, and knowing that thousands in the greater Portland metro area have no access to progressive talk radio since the demise of KPOJ last winter, we are asking the question, would you like to hear the Tom Hartman Show Monday through Friday on KBOO? What does this mean in terms of airtime to meet the needs of the outcast liberal progressives in Portland? 15 hours out of the 168 hours, KBOO is on the air each week. Please go to kboo.fm and look for Tom Hartman on KBOO, then take this two-question survey. If you are not currently a member, please join us today. Pass the link along to others. We need to hear from the entire community if we are to make informed decisions. Please understand that this is only an informational gathering survey to guide possible future programming changes. Please contact me if you have questions or concern. My door is always open. This has been KBOO Station Manager, Development Director, Executive Director, and Ever Watchful Navigator, Lynn Fitch. Thanks.
Secret agent man, they're giving you a number. number and taking away your name.
Whoa! Things are happening so fast that we had to speed up Secret Agent Man. It's just incredible. Breaking news every day, excitement every day. Obama on Charlie Rose telling lies. Oh, my gosh. Hard to keep track. Whew. All right. This is KBOO, 90.7 your FM dial here in Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Abe Proctor isn't here. I'm here. My name's Joe. You call me. I talk to you. 231-8187. Topic today, well, you can't get past it. National Security Agency, the national security state, and the clear and obvious fact that we now know something all of us were paranoid about, but is true. It's absolutely true that the NSA is collecting all of our phone calls, essentially putting them in little boxes, which can then later be referred to, and listening all the time to our emails, to our contacts with Google, and so on. And this is all done by, and this is what's really creepy to me, I guess more creepy than the rest of it, just like we have a prison industrial complex where private prisons make money off of poor people and unlucky people and criminal people, so too does it seem that the National Security Agency has farmed out a great majority of our national security interest to a number of companies. In this case, most notably, I mean, it's sort of Booz Allen and Booz Allen Hamilton, which turns out was the hirer of Edward J. Snowden. And Snowden, oh no, is a whistleblower and a leaker and, according to members of Congress, a traitor. Well, we do need to talk about this. We do need to talk about the fact that, and this is the weird part. You know, you'd sit around drinking or smoking dope or talking with your friends, and you say, man, the government got every, they hear all our messages, they know every, gee, they can't, you know. And you'd say, you're paranoid, dude. You know, you're just really paranoid. And now, it turns out you were not paranoid, never mind the dope. The fact of the matter is that the government, in the interest of your public safety and of our national interests, has been, in fact, spying on all your stuff. So when you go to that site called Spanky Batty Baby, or when you talk to your friend, your honey, your concerned partner, your mother, whatever, it's in the system. Now, of course, the president assures us that this would never be used for any purpose except for national security purposes. But there are, we know, linkages. There are signals. There are signs. If you say, I suspect, I don't know this, you call up and you say, Mom, I bombed on my test. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Oh, my gosh, that puts you into the circle of the scary. And the principle of privacy, the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment, and so on, have been totally violated. There's no question about that. We have adequate evidence. We have the WikiLeaks. I want to give a shout-out to Julian Assange and Bradley Manning. And I want to say that Edward Snowden, rather than being a traitor, is probably a hero of American democracy. And I think that, likewise, Laura Poitras, I think it's how you pronounce it, Poitras, and Glenn Greenwald are great journalists. She does film. He does regular print and over-the-air media. He works for The Guardian. She's an independent filmmaker. I want to know, though, what you think about this. And I guess the question really is, do you think this is a necessary step in stopping terrorism? Do you think this is valid? Now, before I go to the phones, and I'm going to make it a big phone day, and I'm going to ask y'all to try to make your comments brief so we can get as many people on the air as possible. I know that's restrictive, but I don't know how else to do it and be fair to as many people as possible. And I want to urge, by the way, a lot of women and people who normally don't call to participate today. Before we go to any of that, though, I need to think with you out loud a little bit about what the history of the military-industrial complex, never mind the intelligence complex or the prison complex. Remember that Eisenhower, just before he left office, warned against the encroachment of and the warping of American policy, both foreign and domestic, by the military-industrial complex. And remember, too, most of you probably know this, but it's really important to understand that every state in the Union, some much more than others, have interest in helping the military-industrial complex survive because it produces revenues, it produces jobs, and in many cases produces taxes for each and every state, not to mention the federal government. This lock into a Cold War mentality, which briefly looked like it might end with the collapse of the Soviet Union, is now obviously an endless cycle in which we are now, our new enemy, of course, is terrorism. And we've ignored, essentially, all the implications of that in terms of our meddling in the world as a nation. And I'm really interested in how all of you perceive this. Is this gathering of information, gathering of data in vast amounts, in huge, huge places, is this in the public interest? Does this keep you safe? Do you feel safer? Or is it possible that this is simply a way of controlling, corralling, and limiting your activities? An irony here is if you now know that the government for sure, really, and it's not some pipe dream, as I referred to earlier, really is listening in, really does know what you're thinking. It's like Santa Claus. You know, it knows whether you've been bad or good, and you better be good, for goodness sake. Is it really a limitation that effectively controls all kinds of verbal and written behaviors? I want to know what you think. I want to hear from you. Is it ever a good idea? What should its limits be? How can it be controlled? Never mind the FISA courts and so on. They don't seem to have any effect whatsoever. What's the deal? How do you feel? Give us a call, 231-8187. Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
So I think this is a great idea, just taking calls right off the hit.
Yeah, it's a change.
I want to pull out 2 points here, and I think they're both very important and completely ignored. The money that we're spending on this project, that, you know, this little fantasy project that the government is doing, is money that, of course, we could pump back into the economy and provide jobs and social services, et cetera, if we were interested in perpetuating our civilization.
Yeah, but if we farm it out to private enterprise, isn't that money being used for jobs?
Right. That's my second point. I'd like you to examine, and everybody should be very hyper aware of Mr. Snowden's resume. Now, I love Mr. Snowden. I will give, and I identify with all of his, professional, failures, as it says, except for the fact I did do 4 years in the military and he washed out after a couple months. But this man, if he went for a job at Plaid Pantry, would probably not get it. Okay, he dropped out of high school, GED. Okay, I'm guilty. He washed out of the military. He never held a job, hardly. And he is like, okay, I'm on the other side of that, you know, a guy, you know, who does that is lucky to get a low-income apartment in Portland. But he was making $122,000.
Yeah, but he obviously has enormous skills.
Oh, no. I agree with that. I agree with that. So all you people going to college for 4 years and wanting a decent job, you know, $50,000-$60,000 a year, forget it. You know, forget it. Go to work. You go to work for the NSA. You know, drop out. Go to work for the NSA, because all you need is, you know, basically this guy was probably a great, you know, living room computer guy, And I mean, you know, obviously, and he has a talent, no
doubt.
Well,
obviously he's one of the ultimate geeks.
Oh, hey, I think it's groovy, but you know, the
groovy,
thing is,
there's a 1960s expression we don't hear too often.
Right, I always say it. We encourage people to go to school, get in debt, spend their time, you know, in the military, do their job, et cetera, et cetera. And you don't need it. You can go right to work for the NSA spying on people because the NSA, my point is, does not want intelligent, well-educated people.
Well, wait a minute. I don't think they have anything against intelligence. I think their concern is the ability to manipulate data and to make see patterns in data, to be fair. If you're well-informed, formal degrees are pretty irrelevant to that.
Right, but their way of getting that done is hiring somebody like Mr. Snowden, who they conceived as just an ignorant kid, you know, who needed a job.
Well, there's a lesson in that. Listen, I want to give out
the... Anyway, I just wanted to point that out, and you know, all my respect to Mr. Snowden. I think he's a hero.
Okay, thanks a lot
for the call.
Take
care. Goodbye.
Yeah, all right. We're talking about Snowden. Ooh, the naughty Snowden. We're talking about Glenn Greenwald, you know, who writes for The Guardian, who's a very legitimate, well-recognized journalist, who essentially took the whistleblower material and published it. We're talking about the role, and you know, and we haven't even gotten into this stuff, the alleged role, I want to make it clear here, the alleged role of China in all of this, and the fact that Snowden evidently, and I don't even know if this is necessarily true, is hiding in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is an independent kind of city-state within the suzerainty, the control of China. Woo! Oh, this is such hot stuff. And he's free. He's loose. All right, I want to hear from you. Is this all a bit of unimportant nonsense? Because it always was something you knew. Is it now... is your best paranoid dream now come to reality, and how do you feel about it? Give me a call, 231-8187. Steve, you're on the air.
Well, good morning there. Hey, you know, the right wing called Eisenhower a communist dupe for those statements about the military.
Well, actually, it's interesting that you mention that because, you know, that was the attack of the John Birch Society, and the Koch brothers were, their family comes out of that tradition.
Right, exactly. You know, I was talking to some people about rule by law, actually students on my bus, and I pointed out that one of the most liberal constitutions as far as civil rights and stuff was the Soviet Constitution, except for Article 58, the anti-terrorism clause. And just about everybody who was sent to the gulags was sent to the gulags under that terrorism clause, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think I would liken the organization and the structure and the way things were done in the Soviet Union to the way things are done in the U.S., or do I misunderstand you here?
Well, say, for instance, there was that clause about, that somebody who questioned the safety of the American food supply was a terrorist.
I do remember that kind of talk, right.
Well, there's that kind of talk. So, in other words, if I'm saying, you know what, mad cow disease got into the beef supply, if I said that, I'd be a terrorist under that law. And there's so many people the Peter people, the ELF, the ELF, rather, and the ALF, they're basically nonviolent. I mean, if grandma came out on crutches and blocked their way to do an action, they'd back off. They wouldn't hurt grandma.
Right.
And so, you know, they would never hurt a human being or an animal, and yet they're labeled terrorists. And so this idea of terrorism has expanded to where basically it could include just about anybody who's in the way.
Well, are you right now talking to me engaging in terrorism?
Well, I didn't say the meat supply.
I'm just kidding. No. Let me give some other folks a chance, man. We're going to try to take calls really briefly today, see how many people we can get in. And I'd like to hear from women as well. 231-8187. Thomas. Thomas, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Hey, first of all, I'm personally glad that Mr. Snowden didn't go to university. It's particularly law school. It's ironically, since law school is rapidly becoming the place where ethics and conscience go to die, becoming factories producing, you know, a bunch of an army of self-serving Machiavellians that go straight into politics. But anyway, The second part of this huge issue about this spying expose is a massive corporatization of the intelligence, and I'm hearing that, 70% of federal intelligence has become corporatized?
Well, I don't know the exact number, but I've heard numbers like that.
Yeah, it's massive. It's more than half. And the thing is, this is truly a bipartisan thing. The establishment liberal luminary, Al Gore, actually was one of the most responsible people back in the 90s for spearheading this massive corporatization and privatization of government services and intelligence. If you go back and read Al Gore, A User's Manual, a book published in the late 90s by the late Alexander Coburn, founder of Counterpunch, it makes it very clear that this sort of wholesale privatization, and this is very dangerous because we see how through history the corporate mindset, the Wall Street mindset, ends up driving not only intelligence and national policy. Indeed, you look back to the founding of the CIA, which came out of the old OSS from World War II.
Right.
And it's well known that almost all of these people that were up in the top were essentially Ivy Leaguers that were in Wall Street. And indeed, one of the very first major coups against a democratic government, against Allende in Guatemala, was...
Allende in Chile, you mean.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. In Guatemala, it was Ardenz. This was by a CIA director, Alan Dulles, the first CIA director, in tandem with his brother John Foster Dulles, who was the Secretary of State. And who were they? They were. Guess what? They happened to have been attorneys for Sullivan and Cromwell back in the 30s, who represented none other than Chiquita Brand. So that's right. You don't want to talk about banana republics and revolutions in service of corporations. So the very dangerous thing is now, I think, one of the very dangerous aspects of this is the fact that you have all of these agencies with a vested interest and their nose in the feeding trough, and all of this idea that who is the enemy, who needs to be listened to? Well, guess what? Anybody who goes against the corporate rule and privatization. And that, I think, is a very, very important side to this.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I'm gonna let you go, and I'm gonna get someone else. I'm gonna try to do as many calls as I can, as quick
appreciate
as I can. But I really appreciate it. I want to make a couple of mentions here since you brought it up. Remember that the CIA overthrew the legitimate government of Iran, the government of Mossadegh, under Alan Dulles, the CIA, and the long term project of making Iran an ally of ours led to the installation of the Shah and his terrifying police, his Savak, and eventually a revolution that became very reactionary and very religiously conservative, from which we are still suffering with a huge amount of investment in the world in trying to bring Iran into some kind of control under the U.S., which we have not succeeded in doing. And given what's going on in the Middle East right now, could end up being a world war. So, the CIA's meddling, the same is true, by the way, with Patrice Lumumba in the Congo. This meddling by the U.S. government in the world, and of course there's the Vietnam War, all of it seems to me to be stupid, ill-conceived, and in consequence, very bad for the interests of peace and of the world, and in fact of the United States. I want to hear from you, though, on this whole question of leaks and the role of Snowden and so on. 231-8187. BJ!
Hey, Groovy!
Okay, BJ.
That was a term that came from cutting records when I was a DJ in one of the big cities in the East. And it was a lot of fun being groovy, cutting those records.
I see.
Now, I don't know what to say. I'm in fear. I mean, I'm over three-quarters of 100 years old, approaching 80. I don't know. I don't want to be tortured.
They're not going to torture you, man. You're just a regular American guy.
Thank you. And I want to be, okay, I want to be what, the best reward one has is telling the truth. And this is the truth.
Well, a friend of mine briefly had a little publication in Portland. The motto of it was, tell the truth and run.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Anyway, I really appreciate your call. 231-8187. We're urging people to call, make their comments quick, so we can have as many callers as possible. Leslie, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
In defense of Snowden, I believe he was trying to get into the Army Rangers, and he broke both his legs.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely correct.
Washing out. And also, stating that people, the NSA deliberately tries to recruit stupid or uneducated people, I don't think that's their aim, and I don't think that they recruit stupid people. They might try to recruit people who are morally, who have no moral compass, or they might try to recruit people who have situations in their background that make them pliable and open to being blackmailed. I think I read about that in John Perkins' book, that they deliberately recruit people who they can blackmail, but stupid, nah.
I agree. Actually, I want to say I agree with you. I don't think they're looking for stupid people.
And Snowden is clearly someone who's highly educated, articulate, and well-informed if you take the time to read him in Guardian.
No, I really appreciate your comment. And I want to add something here. I think formal education may be, even though I'm a professor, highly overrated. Anyway, thank you for the call. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead real quick.
No, I was saying, please don't say that. I've got so many student loans. Go ahead.
Uh-oh. Yeah, you can't walk away from those, can you?
No, I can't.
All right. Listen, I'm going to give others a chance. Thanks for the call. All right, 231-8187. What we're doing today is we're talking about the Snowden case. We're talking about WikiLeaks. We're talking about leaking. We're talking about the National Security Agency and the fact, the absolute fact that it records every telephone call and catalogs it and later can go back and listen to it. And that when you're on the web, hey, you're in the hands of the National Security Agency. I want to hear what you think about that. Is there ever justification for it? What's the extent of the justification? It seems like the FISA courts, the whole program that Church and others created way back to deal with this kind of nonsense, has totally been overrun by a paranoid, I don't know what you want to call it, security state attitude, defended by the president, the liberal Obama. Let's hear from you, 231-8187. Scott, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks. I think it's a huge dilemma. I think the Constitution is certainly under attack, and I believe that the framers of the Constitution never, ever were able to envision the sort of worldwide global communication that billions of people have access to. A lot of people couldn't even write back then. Mail was sealed with a wax stamp and sent about by foot or ship or horse.
And also, women couldn't vote. Those who didn't own land couldn't vote. Black people couldn't vote. Native Americans couldn't vote.
Well, we're talking about disclosing of huge secrets in the collection of wholesale data that everybody, and those are other great issues too, but I'm just saying that I think that we don't know how to do this. Terrorists have shown an ability to detonate bombs using cell phone devices and other microwave-emitting devices. That's kind of the new. You've seen it with flash mobs. There's just all sorts of ways that people can kind of subvert laws by using technology. And on the other hand, it's certainly an eroding of our right to privacy, free speech, and I absolutely agree. I think at the end of the day, this is all tied to the huge marketing potential of the internet, where every single keystroke on a Google site or a site that you purchase something from, it's all collected. I think it's a huge dilemma, and I'm not sure right now how to sort it all out. I think that there are threats out there. On the other hand, the threats to our liberty. So I don't have the answers, but I'm very concerned, and I certainly don't believe Snowden is a traitor. He's far from it. Anyway, that's my comment.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. You know, folks, we have had most of our history moments in which we've had essentially laws that countervene the Constitution. During the period of time directly after the start of the 19th century, we had the Alien and Sedition Acts, which essentially made it against the law. First of all, allowed the kicking out of the country of aliens, and the notion of sedition. When you speak against any government official, you would be guilty, possibly, of sedition. We saw similar laws created after World War I, and now we're seeing a similar pattern in this particular case. So we've always had these challenges, and they are important, and how we respond to them will pretty much set the pattern for our nation. In the period of time that I've been around, I remember as a child the McCarthy era. I remember when it was very dangerous to speak out in this country, when any kind of liberal thought, any kind of left-wing, particularly left-wing thought, was labeled as communist, when in fact the John Birch Society was taken seriously by a significant but small percentage of Americans in its argument that that Eisenhower was a conscious agent of the communist conspiracy. And so, of course, was the Supreme Court. Anyway, we want to hear from you, 231-8187. But before we do that, I got to tell you what's coming up on KBOO. At 9 on Alternative Radio, Guardian newspaper columnist, the very fellow of whom we speak, Glenn Greenwald, speaks on the security state. That's something you don't want to miss. At 10 on Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, investigative journalist Gareth Porter looks at Iran and the impact of the newly elected president. And activist Carlos Garcia talks with a federal judge, talks about a federal judge's ruling that Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, thank you, racially profiled Latinos. Yes, he did. And at 11 on Stage and Studio, host Dime Roberts presents the documentary A New Way of Life and the New Underground Railroad, making a break for freedom during the era of mass incarceration. At 11:30 on Art Focus, host Ava Lake speaks with Heidi Kirkpatrick about her photo-based work, including straight prints, plus boxes and containers and constructions of all kinds. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support. And, hey, if you're not doing it now, do it. We need your money. We need your support. We need to know that you truly love us. All right, 231-8187. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show on KBOO, and we're talking about the security state and the leaks. And, of course, Julian Assange and Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden. All of these guys, including the Guardian newspaper's role in all of this, want to hear from you. 231-8187. Martin.
Joe.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. Well, I was watching the NewsHour a couple nights ago, and there was this pundit on.
Oh, not a pundit. Go ahead.
Okay, well, some kind of expert.
No, I'm just kidding you. Go ahead.
Okay, on the NSA. Anyway, so he made some interesting comments. He said, since 9/11, there have been 27 people killed in the U.S. From terrorist attacks. And he says, since 9/11, there have been hundreds of thousands of people who have died from gun violence.
Ah.
And he says, if the government is interested in protecting the American people, why doesn't it work on gun violence instead of these possible terrorist attacks?
Well, you know the answer, right? We love our guns. We love our guns.
I'm just saying it's a big difference.
Well, it's not rational. I think isn't that really your point? We're not being very rational about all this.
Yeah, but people don't consider these things. I mean, why don't they look at things like that? I mean, it's just so ridiculous. I mean, that's all I mean. I mean, it's just...
No, I think your point is very good, and I think it's an important point, and I thank you for it.
Okay. All right.
All right,
okay,
man.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for the call. No, I think our caller has brought up something very, very significant, which is that this is not a rational... This war on terror, first of all, when you have a war on drugs or a war on terror, you've lost by definition. There'll always be drugs. Unfortunately, there always will be terror in the world. Social justice is a remedy for both, and social justice is not part of what we do anymore, if we ever did, here in the United States. And it's really true that the kind of McCarthyite sentiment, the fear of the other, has become a dominant force in our culture. And when it's reinforced and supported by actual acts of terror, hey, the sky apparently is the limit. I want to hear from you on the national security state and what you think about all this. 231-8187. Maury, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. The least of my problems is having my phone tapped. my concern is nobody is listening. if you get a whole list of these suspicious phone numbers all over the world, mm-hmm. I thought we could start a phone tree and tell all these people what we think of American foreign policy.
Whoa, what kind of craziness is that?
And also, the frustrated thing, I don't think that I would negate my college education. I'm really thrilled that I was able to get one, and one type or the other is not the problem. But anyway...
I think that's a good... But listen, I don't mean to diss education. I don't think we should. Whether it's formal or informal, though,
yes,
I think
I
is irrelevant. I think knowing is better than not knowing.
But if you've got Ahmadinejad's phone number, any of those people, I'd love to have it. Now, I'd be glad to call them and have somebody tap my line. Okay.
Okay, thanks for the call. All right, 231-8187. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show on KBOO. We're talking about the national security state and the leaks, all the leaks, and Snowden, and the role of the Guardian newspaper in all of this, and Glenn Greenwald, and I want to hear from you. Who do we got? Harvey.
Harvey. I'd like to talk about America turns everything into a business.
And, yeah.
And essentially, your privacy is somebody else's business.
Apparently it is.
Yeah, and so, for instance, if you, you know, we're so touchy about our emails and our phone calls, but we seem somewhat oblivious to the commercial tracking of, say, the purchases of the products we use. And let's take food, for instance. When you buy food, mm-hmm. if you use a credit card, a debit card, or a store club card, everything you eat is recorded. And the companies like Monsanto, they harvest this information and from the companies that collect them, and that's the business, is the collecting of information on you. And it's a big moneymaker for everyone concerned. And the thing is, what it does is this information can be used, instead of Monsanto using lab rats to test out their genetically modified products, we are the experiment, and what happens is that with all the information, Monsanto knows which crop you ate and what that genetically was, you know, that test, and then at the end of the year, they know down to the pound, they can pretty much estimate what you've eaten and which type of genetically modified foods.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're raising an interesting point. That is that the privatization of the national security state, which has clearly gone on for quite a while now and is gigantic, is not so dissimilar from the private gathering of personal information that is now possible in the electronic age.
Yes, my friend coined it as, we live in the age of zero privacy and total secrecy.
That's a very good phrase. I remember, zero privacy, total secrecy.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Joe. I appreciate everything.
Hey, take care, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, 231-8187. We're going real fast, getting as many people in as possible. And I do, once again, want to encourage women to give us a call. I think talk radio all over the world is too dominated by us guys. So we want to hear from you. Who do we got?
Spencer, how are you doing today?
Hi, Spencer. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Yeah.
What's up?
Well, you know, I've been listening to the whole NSA thing, and I work for the Portland Public School District here. We're closing down. It's the last stage to clean up the classroom, and I'm an assistant teacher, so, you know, I always vote in favor of the people and all that. But I think it's kind of interesting that people are getting really worked up about this whole thing. And, you know, we've been okay with people taking our credit card information, like your last caller said, for years, and no one threw a fit. And I think Napoleon Bonaparte has a good quote about governments. He said, never suspect evil when stupidity will do for a good explanation.
You know, that's a good point. But I tend to think that evil and stupidity are very closely related cousins.
Oh, they surely are. But, you know, I can imagine a universe where the government was kind of sitting there and going, like, oh, my gosh, we got to catch all these terrorists. That's the one thing we got to do now, because, oh, my gosh, they're going to commit more acts of terrorism. How do we do that? Well, let's look at everyone's phone calls. That's a great idea, Steve. And, you know, and if you look at, okay, so there's, like, how many millions of Americans use cell phones, right?
Yeah.
They collect all that data.
Yeah.
It's just humanly impossible to physically look at everything that everyone's saying, which makes absolute sense considering how they did it. They piled it all in a pile, and then they looked for specific words and destinations that people were calling from.
Yeah, but
and I'm not saying it's good. Yeah. But that's obviously an egregious breach of the Constitution and terrible, terrible breach of privacy.
Right.
But instead of a vast monolithic conspiracy, I mean, we can still vote these people out of office. You know, I mean, like, if we all got together and did it. And, you know, I think it's important for people to remember that their vote still counts. That as bad as it is, it's still representative democracy, and there's still hope for the future to change this great country of ours back to sanity.
All right, thanks a lot. Listen, thanks a lot for the call, and thanks for the hope.
Thanks. Hey, God bless you. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Take good care of yourself. I think that one of the things that people need to understand is that the technologies have jumped way ahead of our general kind of general understanding and knowledge. There are supercomputers that can do amazing things, and I don't know the limits of their ability to sort data. So don't assume that because it's so much data, it doesn't get checked. On the other hand, I have no evidence that it necessarily does. But this is, you know, this is all part of this crazy making that we see in a society like ours. Also, it must be understood that if one comes to believe that nothing is private, one starts behaving as if nothing is private. And the consequence of that is to psychologically and socially limit one's comments, one's thoughts, one's every activity. The Stasi in East Germany definitely quieted people's minds down. And the Stasi was the secret police that really tapped countless phones, tapped into everyone's home, was super and hyper-invasive, and was the very model of what we would not want in a police state, in our state. And here we are clearly engaging in those kind of ideas and those kinds of actions in the interest of national security. As an earlier caller pointed out, we got more problem with gun violence in our society than we've ever had with terrorism. And I would add, we never had the degree of terrorism problem we have now if it hadn't been for our imperialist adventures, particularly in the Middle East, particularly in areas dominated by fundamentalist Islam. So let's all think about that. I want to hear from you. This is KBOO. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. I'm Joe, 231-8187. Sean, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Hey, all this NSA talk, I was wondering if someone might cue up the Matt Damon monologue from Good Will Hunting where he goes for a job interview. That's a pretty classic monologue.
Hey, you know, that's a good idea. I don't remember it so good, but yeah, that's a good idea.
But hey, the reason I called, Joe, is I know that you actually teach courses in, like, the history of the American labor movement and of the American left and so forth.
Yes.
I have, like, one central question. What is going on? I mean, because in the one instance, you have, like, MSNBC and MoveOn.org and everyone who argues that we have to support the Democratic Party because of the Supreme Court justices. But then you have, like, groups like the RCP, Bob Avakian's people, and they're like, are you kidding? So, like, I respect your opinion, Joe. Where do you come down on this, and what is going on with the left? Why would we ever support Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or any other one of these DLC types? Thanks.
Oh, whoa. Now, I I think you've asked a very important question, and I think that I don't have enough time, and we're trying to get as many callers in, and I don't want to chicken out here, but I can't really get into that whole very important conversation today. But I think it's a good topic for the future. I think the question of how should one vote, why should one vote, whether one should go for left parties that have very little chance of winning. And there's always the danger that when you spend a lot of energy and time on something like, for example, the Nader campaign, it makes it, without any intent on Nader's part, very easy for the weirdness of George W. Bush. But I don't want to get into all of that. I think ours is a very limited society in terms of democracy, in terms of the range of political voting we have. It's nothing like France or Germany or other democracies where there's a wide range of political parties. It's very limited to the two establishment parties, and within each of those parties, a sort of liberal element and a vast conservative element. I'm not going to deal with that today, though. I think it is an important topic, and I think I'm really glad you raised it. We do need to spend some time on it. And this summer, I'll be around this summer, we should start talking about that kind of theoretical material. But now we're going to pay attention to the security state and the National Security Agency, and we're going to consider whether there are
traitors at work or whether, in fact, we have patriots at work revealing the reality of the spying of our government on our own citizens. I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I know you guys are packed here. I'm just going to bust out a couple of points. One, I don't think voting, as your previous caller mentioned, is an option. Everybody always says just vote them out. But
yeah.
You can't vote them out. It doesn't happen. Just like I said about Barack Obush when he got elected, he talks a good game, and he did do some things, but at the end of the day, he's just as much of a corporatist as everybody else on the ticket, and given the same powers that we all complained about George Bush about, he didn't lift a finger to do anything about it, and he is just as happy to continue the wars and continue shoveling our First, Fourth, and maybe even our Second Amendment down the toilet as anybody else would. Well, and on the other end, we are a society that is made, we've been bred to be watched. If you ever look, you ever download an app on a smartphone or a tablet, look at the permissions. You, in order to play Angry Birds, you have to let that program data mine your phone.
Well, that's
it's
really
right
I, no. I want to stop for a second.
Phone?
I want to just affirm your point. We really are letting private corporations data mine our whole entire system of information within our computers. And I really appreciate your making that point.
It is. And we've been doing it forever. Things that back in the day that a computer virus used to do, it would get into your computer and it would take out your contact list and pull all your information, people would get very upset and they'd spend hundreds of dollars to have that removed from their computer. Now with smartphones and tablets and all these apps, we are willfully allowing it to happen, and that sometimes we're even paying for these programs so that we can mindlessly entertain ourselves while a private company provides us that entertainment for the sole purpose of taking information from our phones. And it's the exact same information, the same metadata type information that the NSA is taking, Rovio is taking while you're shooting birds at pigs. They're watching who's calling you, what device you have, what device is calling you, your contact list, it accesses your internet, it turns on your GPS, it does all these things that under different circumstances, maybe 10 years ago, would have had people up in arms, but now we're willfully doing it, and only a very small percentage of the population even cares about that. And I think an even smaller percentage of the population is bothered that the government is doing it. And of the people who are, half of them are okay with it, as they see it as some inevitability of living in the digital age or living in the age of terror, which is the biggest red herring I have ever seen in my life.
Well,
I feel like the things that our country is stands for on paper, not that we've ever really respected all the rights that people are supposed to be afforded here, but I feel like the final nail has been driven in with this, and the country is either accepting of it, welcoming it, or deciding that nothing can be done about it and they are not going to do anything about it. And this is the new way.
Okay, I appreciate your points. I think they're very good points, and I want to give others an opportunity. I also want to make a comment, and thank you for the call. My comment is this. I think when one analyzes what one's political behavior ought to be, there are two components. The first is you vote, however you vote, particularly locally, but even nationally, based on what you can figure out about candidates and choices and better or worser people. For example, I don't think there was really much choice between Romney and Obama, just for example. At the same time, that's a very small part of what your political life, if you really care about things, should be. Your activism should be expressed in activities, in writing and publishing and pushing and proclaiming and putting your body on the line to make a better country. All right, let's hear from other folks. 231-8187. Remember, we're talking about the security state. Brooke, you're on the air.
Well, hey there. You know, I couldn't agree more with your last caller. We give away our information about our whereabouts, who we call, who we talk to, what we do online quite willingly,
uh-huh,
quite joyfully, as long as we feel that there's a reward or there's some pleasure involved.
Or at least we won't get lost.
Exactly. So the fact that somebody's collecting it is no surprise. And, you know, it's funny. I was doing some reading about Greek civilization, just some side reading, and it came across the Oracle at Delphi, and it just made me think of this whole NSA thing. I don't know why, But the idea was that you go to this this oracle.
Who is stoned on who's stoned on natural gas or whatever. Go ahead, anyway.
Well, whatever, but it was somehow information came up. You asked it a question, information came up. And I get the same sense about this. It's about collecting tons of data, storing it in, you know, zettabyte or whatever, you know, type of information storage type system, and then present it with a question.
Yeah, I think
and
it's called exobyte. Anyway.
Exobyte, there it is. Yeah. And then you've got the answers that come out. The more defined the question, the more defined the answer. And who knows, you might even get some names along with it, or groups or organizations. And that's kind of where I see it going. As we move more and more towards this sort of corporate political control state, I think anyone who resists, ultimately, they're going to be able to weed them out using these systems.
Well, it is scary. It is scary. And I do appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much. Hey, you know, this is really the paranoid's nightmare made real. Everyone I knew who used to think, oh, man, the government's listening, and, you know, I'd say, come on, you're smoking too much weed, or forget about it, you've been doing too much crack or something. No. Turns out that all of that paranoia was somehow true. Turns out the government really is listening in all the time, and presumably is indifferent because you don't say anything very interesting. But the access to that material, the violation, the acceptance of the violation by our citizenry does render us less willing to explore far-out ideas. It also renders us much more passive and allows us to think that the state is somehow, you know, doing a good thing by checking out on it. You know, this is 1984. This is Brave New World. This is all those brilliant science fiction writers' work writ large and real in the modern world. I want to hear what you think. 231-8187. Mike, you're on the air.
Morning. Thanks for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd really like to say something about the consequence of this gathering of information.
Okay.
Thanks. The Constitution, constitutional breach, is not any more about access to the private info than, you know, getting a speed ticket is the goal of the authorities, State Patrol. The goal of the State Patrol giving a ticket is to warn people that are likely going to kill someone. Okay.
So you're thinking that this this new control is a limiter on the bad behavior of others?
Absolutely. And it's worse than just the bad behavior. It's the chilling effect.
I'm confused. Now, are you thinking that it's a good idea or a bad idea that there's this monitoring going on?
It's absolutely horrendous. But that's not the problem. That's not the consequence. That's the vehicle that enables the evil. The evil that the Constitution refers to in privacy. It's not about privacy. It's about due process.
Okay.
The powers that be now, because they have all the information, and then on the flip side, on a legal standpoint, say, we don't have to tell you how we got it. We don't have to tell you what we got. We don't have to use any due process. It's national security secrets. They can, with their power, point the finger and put their finger on someone's name in a phone book and say, go get them.
Well, I think you're right.
And say anything and everything they want and get away with it.
I think it's no longer paranoid to think that. And
I
really appreciate your call. I want to give some others a chance. All right.
Hey, sir.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing?
Real quick.
The gentleman was asking about asking you directly about why the liberal left class has betrayed us. Well, check out Chris Hedges, the investigative author.
Uh-huh.
I think he's got it right on the money, and he's succinct and clear. And there's a great C-SPAN 2 book TV interview that was last year, like a three-hour special interview of him.
Okay.
Man, it should be required viewing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I second you on Chris Hedges. I think he's a great journalist and a great thinker in this modern age. And his work is superb. All right. Let's have some more calls. We're 231-8187. Kim, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Ken, sorry.
Yeah, I just want to say about paranoia, Woody Allen defines it as knowing all the facts.
Woody Allen may be right.
Well, I also wanted to point out that something I came upon the other day, and that is that these people who are monitoring all this communication clearly knew or did the same thing overseas with all the financial and economic communication. So they, in other words, the implication there is that these people may have had some influence on, you know, crashing the overall economy. At least they, at any event, they could see it coming.
Well, and here's a thought about all of that. If you know this kind of information, it's just like knowing what the price of orange juice on the, you know, on the grand markets is going to be a week or two in advance. You can bet the market. You can make a lot of money. And I don't know that that isn't happening. It's very, very possible.
Well, it's very, not only possible, I would say it's likely. Now, the other thing I just want to mention, and I'll get off the air, is,
sure.
Wasn't it Mussolini who said that, defined fascism as the marriage of government and business?
Yes.
Okay, well, surveillance stuff is being run mostly by corporations.
That's true.
So, I mean, and it's like, it's a black budget, but, you know, we can assume that it's probably close to $1 trillion or more if it's costing the taxpayer.
Yeah, I have no idea how much money is involved, but I think your point is very good. Mussolini basically talked about a corporate state where you essentially have capital and labor and the government working together for the good of the nation state as an advancing, ever-advancing and ever-expanding powerful unit. Anyway, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. 231-8187. We're talking about the leaks. We're talking about, we haven't talked about Bradley Manning or Julian Assange. They've been pushed aside in the news consciousness by Edward J. Snowden, who right now probably is hanging out somewhere in the very big city of Hong Kong. And will we get him? And how will we punish him? Ooh, excitement. I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Michael, you're on the air. Michael?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say I totally agree with you. And also, back in, I'm not sure if you remember, back in 2001, right after 9/11, you made a big mistake.
I made many. What was the big mistake?
You used the term, for the Bush and Cheney gang, you used the term friendly fascist.
Okay.
I mean, I wish they were friendly.
I see.
they are fascists, but I wish they were friendly fascists.
Okay.
Anyway, I just thought I wanted to say that. But besides that, I really agree with everything you say.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call. I love to be agreed with. Take care, man.
Okay. Bye.
All right, 231-8187. I think we got time for one more call. Michael. Oh, Michael's got
good
time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Last night on the PBS NewsHour,
yeah,
they had a guy named Jaron Lanier, a very bright guy who was one of the inventors of virtual reality a while ago.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, he wrote a book called Who Owns the Future.
Uh-huh.
He was talking about how technology is destroying all the jobs lately,
uh-huh,
or most of the jobs.
Yeah.
And he proposed this thing that also ties into what you're talking about, which was that we should get paid every time they use data about us, whoever it is.
Oh, I saw that, you know, and I thought that was really cool.
I think that was brilliant. It's like one of the one things left that sort of normal average people have that's of value to the economy.
Well, now you and I often disagree, but I think that's absolutely correct.
And, you know, I've been thinking for years about, like, what are we going to do with all the people that the economy has no use for? We've got to make an economy that has use for the people we have somehow. And I've never been able to come up with an idea of how that could happen. And this guy came up with an idea that could be how it could happen.
Well, you're absolutely right. And it's very funny and it's very ironic. And I don't think it'll happen.
Well, it could technologically.
Yeah, technologically it's quite feasible. But I think it's contrary to the Protestant ethic.
Well, I don't know, you know, and it could be like kind of an auction. You say, well, you know, you can use my data, but it will cost you 5 cents. And the company could decide 5 cents isn't worth it, or they could decide, yeah, we'll take that one. And everybody would get to pick their price for what they, and, you know, you could either decide not to sell some part of your data.
So the concept of giving you my 2 cents worth would really be real.
Yeah, exactly so.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Sure. Bye-bye.
That was a very good point. I really actually think it's ironic and appropriate. Where are we? Do we have time for more calls? No. We do not. Democracy is coming to the USA, but we just don't know when. Stay tuned to KBOO for the most incisive, brilliant, and even clever news analysis and wonderful music.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Peace, this is Mike Crenshaw. I want to invite you to come out to see Long Distance Revolutionary, a documentary about Mumia Abu-Jamal. This film chronicles his life as a revolutionary, a writer, a journalist, a philosopher, and an inspiration to people worldwide. It's showing June 14th at the Clinton Street Theater. That's a Friday night
at 7 p.m.
That starts the week-long run of Long Distance Revolutionary in Portland. Cable is proud to bring you this event, and I hope to see you there.